Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Good morning. Oh man, good morning. Man, welcome to Center Church. Yeah, man, just like loosen up a little bit, guys. My name is Josh, and I'm the lead pastor here. Man, shout out to all our friends joining us online. Hey, let me say hi to you guys. We appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for just hopping on with us this morning. Please share this on your page. Drop us a like, an emoji. Man, hey, shout out to everybody in the house today. Yeah. Hey, shout out to the overflow room over there. Woo, you guys are a little far, but I can see you from here. Man, God is doing some amazing things. Man, we got a packed house today, even on the patio. Amazing things, amazing things. Welcome home. Welcome home, man. Whether it's your first time here, you've been rocking with us maybe for a long time, welcome to Center Church. I like to say it like this. This is the perfect place for imperfect people. No matter where you are, no matter you know what you've been through in life, you're welcome here. And we really do mean that, okay? And around here, we believe that faith is a journey. It's not a guilt trip. Amen? It's a journey. It's not a guilt trip. So feel comfy. This church is filled with ordinary people who've just experienced the love of an extraordinary God. So that's all we're doing here today, man. So this morning, I thought I'd do a little Christmas cheer experiment. I know we kind of jumped into it already, but let me ask these for all the parents in the house. You can use your outdoor voices, okay? How many parents are excited for Christmas morning? Let me hear it. Yeah, some of you got children trying to wake up. You know, they're like, I got bills. All right, you guys are, oh Lord, what did I do? My credit card. Okay, now I know that we have kids in the service today. We have a family style service this morning. So I'm gonna ask the kids in the house, who here is just ready and excited for Christmas? Oh my God, hey, come on, let's go. Miles, thank you. I appreciate you, Miles. I love you, sir. Man, you guys just do it better, okay? You do it better, I love it. But I'm a big Christmas movie guy. I love just like chilling out to all the holiday favorites. Me and my wife, Bree, we love watching movies. It's like part of our thing. So I want you to help me out this morning before we jump into the talk. Let's see if we can name some of these movies, of any movie buffs in the house, okay? Use your outdoor voices. We're gonna put up some of these on the screen. Here's the first one. Name this movie. What is this? Home Alone, that's it. Family favorite, okay, awesome. Here's the second one. What about this one? Who said the house? Was that you? You said the how? Nightmare Before Christmas, all right? Here's the next one, popular. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, that's right. We're gonna take it back just a little bit. Here's the next one. What is this one? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay, we're gonna take it back to the 80s, okay? Take it back. Some of you guys with the hair and the, okay, we're gonna take it back a little bit. How about this one, Christmas movie? That's right, let's go. Die Hard, it is a Christmas movie, if you didn't know. 1988, I was 2 years old, all right? Man. Here we go, here's the next one, 1983. Here's the next one, what is this? A Christmas Story, that's right. And we're gonna take it way back, okay? For all you oldies in the house, you know what I'm saying? Here we go, back to the 40s. It's a Wonderful Life. Who's seen It's a Wonderful Life? That's such a great film. My wife, your first time this year? Watching it this year. And she, did you cry? She sobbed. She just sobbed all over. Here's the last one, guys. What is this? Elf, man. And Elf is one of my favorite movies to watch. Wow. And he's just, man, Elf is, a Buddy the Elf played by Will Ferrell is just hilarious, man. If you haven't seen it, watch that movie. And it's funny because the point of the whole film is that Christmas is best experienced through this childlike wonder. And Buddy the Elf, he has this. So, you wake up on Christmas morning, everybody's super excited, right? Even the kids. Some families, you know, you do it on Christmas Eve. I know we have some traditions around here. Everyone gathers around the tree. You pass out presents. Who here, you've already passed out some presents with your family already, maybe? Okay, we've did that too. And then you kind of wait for this big moment and you get to open them. And when you open these presents, it actually, there's two kinds of people, okay, in the world. There's two kinds of people, okay? People who open presents slowly, okay? And then there's people who open them the right way. You know what I'm saying? Like they're slowly and then there's the right way. So we're gonna put this picture up right here. This is option number one, right? It's the slow way. I'm careful. I'm really delicate with the gift wrapping. Like, you know, we don't want to rip it too bad because mama has to use it next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to reuse. the gift wrapping, right? I save some money. That's the slow way. But here's the second option, right? This is the right way. I call this the unwrap attack, all right? And you attack it because underneath the wrapping is something super special. Man, you just can't wait. You rip into it because you can't wait to see what's inside. And that's what you do when you're excited about what's inside of the present. It's not about the packaging. It's actually about the present. And at Christmas time, for us, it's a great way to celebrate the greatest gift to the world, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. This is what 2 Corinthians says, and it's going to be up on the screens and in your notes. Chapter 9, verse 15, it says this: thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. This gift is too wonderful for words. A gift that God gives you and me is so amazing that, man, it's indescribable. I can't even, just posture myself to say something back to God, because the gift that he gives us, it's man, indescribable. It's too wonderful for words. Another translation actually puts it like this. It says, thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. And we're given this incredible gift. It's the gift of Jesus. It's a gift of Jesus. So this morning, I'd like to take just the next few moments, okay, and speak on this subject, the most wonderful gift. The most wonderful gift. So go and take those notes out, guys, and maybe just the notes app on your phone. And the thing about this gift, it's not about just a baby who was born a long time ago, okay? A couple thousand years ago. I'm going to put this picture up here for you. The most wonderful gift of Christmas is actually available to everybody today. Amen? It's available for us today, and that's great news because it means some special things for you and me. So I want us to kind of unpack that together. And the gift of Jesus being born, it means a few things, some special things. I want you to write this down. Here's the first one. The gift, the most wonderful gift of Christmas, means joy from my present. It means joy from my present. Incredible joy. Joy right now. Joy for you today. Let me say this. Some of you guys, some of us maybe, haven't experienced true joy in a long time. It's been a long time. Maybe 2020 was hard. Maybe you lost somebody you love. Maybe you struggled during the pandemic. Maybe it didn't get any better in 2021. Come on, somebody. Like, it was just like rolling over. And you need maybe some hope and healing in your life. You need a fresh dose of joy for you this season. And if that's you, man, I got great news for you. The gift of Jesus brings joy to your present. It brings joy to your present. I love what Luke says. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 10. It says this: the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you. Everybody say good news. I'm here with good news for you. Like, hey, I got something special to tell you. Hey, I got something like really, really important that you need to hear. And the verse continues on, which will bring great joy. Everybody say great joy. Great joy to all the people. See, if this Christmas thing is anything, it's the gift of great joy to everyone right now. And Jesus desires to be that in your life today, not just in the past, but today. But Christmas can be a really split experience for some people, doesn't it? It can be a split experience. It can be extremely joy-filled for some, but for others, it's very difficult, a difficult time of year. It's really tough for some folks. And maybe you came in walking into the door today struggling because Christmas reminds you of somebody that you've lost. You know, maybe Christmas, it reminds you of a loved one who's maybe far from home, right? Maybe Christmas is a time that it reminds you of a regret that I can't shake that. Man, I remember the decision I made. I remember when I kind of messed some things up, and it just keeps kind of reminding me every single Christmas. I want you to know this morning that Jesus understands that. Man, Jesus understands what you're going through. He knows how you're feeling. He sees what you're going through. In fact, it's why he came. It's why Jesus came. It's why the God of heaven condescended himself and he sent his son to be born on earth. Literally, he sent his son Jesus to people who were struggling with the exact same thing. And they were walking in darkness. They were going through depression. They were walking through the ebbs and flows of life. People just like you and me. And Jesus was sent to bring joy into your present. He was sent to bring hope into your hopelessness right now, today. That's the first thought. Here's the second one. The most wonderful gift also means, write this down, pardon for my past. It means pardon for my past. It means forgiveness of my sins. See, the gift of Christmas, the wonderful gift of Jesus being born, means forgiveness for the things that I've done wrong. It means forgiveness in the places where I've messed up. And I don't know about you, but I've messed up a lot. Anybody, yeah, like anybody else with me? I've messed up a whole lot in my life. More than a few times. I've dropped the ball. I've fumbled the ball. I've made some mistakes. Maybe you have too. But what's amazing about Jesus is that he actually gives me pardon from my past, amen? He gives me pardon from my past. He was actually born to save me from my sin. He's called the Savior. This is why it says this in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 11. It says this, the Savior, everybody underline Savior, talking about Jesus. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You know, one of the biggest questions that we got to like kind of wrestle with as human beings is this. What do I do with my mistakes? What do I do with the things that I've done wrong? Like, what do I do with the things that I've kind of fumbled in life? What do I do with my sin? And depending on your background, you might answer that question differently, huh? Maybe a faith background, maybe you've never been to church. This is like your first time to church. You just come to church once a year. It's like on Easter or twice a year, Christmas and Easter, right? And you just, you know, I don't know how to answer that question. And lots of people, they kind of give in or they lean into this notion of karma. Who knows what karma is? You ever heard that word before, karma? Right? Kind of like, it's like if I just do enough good to outweigh my bad, right, then I'll be okay. If I just put out enough decent, like positive energy, hashtag good vibes only, you know what I'm saying? If I just like put up enough good vibes out there, I'll be good. If I muster enough of these good vibes, these good things in my life, and I do more good than bad, then I'll be okay in life, and then whatever happens after that. And lots of people kind of buy into the notion of karma. It's kind of appealing for people. It feels good. It feels pretty decent. And if that's where you are today, hey, I can't blame you. Hey, there's no judgment here. But there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that view. It's because the problem is we're not usually very honest with how much we've actually blown it. We're not usually honest with where we are, the things that we've dropped in our life or the places we've messed up. And, you know, we start to think that, hey, I'm just like not that bad, right? Like, hey, I'm not as bad as that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go to church at least 5 times a year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't cuss that much. I'm not as bad as the next person. And when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, there's wounds and there's pains in life that can never be healed by me just doing more good. You know what I'm saying? It can't happen that way. And the truth is, our sin, the place where we've dropped the ball, actually puts us in a position of disadvantage. It actually puts us in a bad place, and that place is separated from Almighty God. That's what our sin does to us. But look at what Jesus does for you and me with his pardon. I love what Colossians says. It's on the screens. It says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that good? He rescues you. He gives you the forgiveness of your sins. The gift of Jesus actually pardons you. I love how Colossians puts it. He rescues us from darkness. Ooh, that's good. He rescues you from a dark place. He forgives your past, your present, and your future. Amen? Man, he forgives every part of us. But isn't it interesting
how our past has a way of like accusing us. Ever notice that? Your past has a way of accusing you, has a way of like defining you in terms of the things that you've done wrong, and defining you in terms of the things that maybe people have done to you. You know what I'm saying? Your past labels you by your struggles and your hurts. Hey, you're an addict. Your past labels you, hey, you're a cheater. You're a homewrecker. Hey, you're a thief. Hey, you're a liar. Hey, you're no good. You're a failure. You're always gonna be a failure. Your past is, hey, you're a loner. Nobody loves you. Hey, you're not good enough. And your past knows your name, but calls you by your sin. Oh, come on. Your past knows your name, but calls you by your sin. You know what's cool about Jesus? you know what's cool about the God that we're celebrating today? Jesus knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. Come on. Jesus knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. Not only does he call you by your name, man, he calls you out of your sin and into a new identity. That's what Jesus does. He says, hey, you're loved. Hey, come on. Hey, you're loved. Hey, you have a good future. Hey, you're not alone. Hey, you're better than that thing you struggle with. Come on. Hey, you're better than that. Hey, you were created for so much more. Hey, you got a second chance. You got a third chance. You got a fourth chance. Hey, who needs a fifth chance up in here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you got several chances. That's how good God is. Hey, your story isn't over. And see, Jesus offers you pardon for your past, forgiveness for your sins. He knows your sin, woo, but he calls you by your name. That's good. Woo, yes, that's right. He calls you by your potential. Come on, somebody. Hey, he calls you up. The most wonderful gift of Christmas means joy from my present. It means pardon or forgiveness from my past. Here's a third one. It means purpose for my life. Ooh, this is good. It means purpose for my life. The gift of Christmas means purpose. It gives me purpose for my life. You ever wonder like what you're created for? Ever like ask that big question to yourself, like the big like daunting question of humanity? What was I created for, God? Like, why am I here? Why am I on this planet? Like, why did you make me? And even kids discover the first steps of purpose like at a young age. Have you ever asked your kid, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what do you want to be? I'm gonna put some pictures up here. So I'm like, I want to be a nurse like mommy. I want to help people. You know, some other people, hey, I want to be a policeman. You know, I want to catch the bad guys, right? And we have lots of these. Hey, I want to be a veterinarian because I love animals, right? I want to help animals. I want to nurse them back to health. And you got the ones who like watch too much TV. Like you just leave them there with an iPad. Like I want to be Batman and live in the Batcave. And I want to like, but they have this like idea in their head that, you know, they have like a big purpose. Like I want to catch the bad guys. I want to help people. They say the funniest things, and even at an early age, it can almost like connect the dots of purpose, and they have these early thoughts of their lives being used for something greater. You know what I'm saying? Understand this. Can I say this morning? You were created for a very specific purpose, amen? You're created for a specific purpose, a really important one. In fact, the Bible says that God has given us a wonderful gift that's revealed through his son, Jesus. And that gift, you know what that gift is? It's purpose for your life. He gives you purpose for your life. God wants to give you purpose. Hey, he's made you for so much more. You were made for more than just making money and going on vacations. Come on, somebody. You're made for more than just making money, going on vacations, doing all these things. You're created for God's amazing purposes. I love what the book of Timothy says. It's up on the screens. Chapter 1, it says, God saved us and made us his holy people. That was not because of anything we did ourselves, but because of God's purpose and grace. And that grace was given to us through Christ Jesus before time began. See, God has a very specific purpose for your life, but actually starts with knowing him. It starts with knowing who God is. And how do we get to know God? How do we know the God of heaven? It's through something called grace. Grace is my favorite word in all the world. Grace. What's grace? I'm going to put up on the screens. This is what grace is. It's grace is favor from God that's unearned and undeserved. Grace is the favor of God that's unearned and it's undeserved. You know, the Bible calls it a gift. Ephesians actually says it like this. It's not in your notes or on the screens. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourself, man. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, hey, we could never earn it. We never even deserved it. It's free for us because it cost him his life. It cost him everything. Jesus died on a cross for you and me to give us grace. And you know, there's something that happens when we accept that gift. You know, there's two things you can do with a gift. Like, yeah, I'll take that. Or, you know, no, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I reject the gift. But God wants to give you a gift today. It's a gift of his grace. And when you receive it, something special happens. You get a fully forgiven past for a fully empowered future. Come on. You get a fully forgiven past for a fully empowered future. Not because you and I deserved it. Not because we paid for it or we earned it. It's because God loves you and me so much, and he gives the best gifts to his kids. Isn't that good? It's how good God is. He loves giving us, his kids, his best gifts. And today he wants to offer you a purpose-filled life through that grace. Here's a fourth thought. I'm going to close with this. The most wonderful gift of Christmas also means a place at his table. It means a place at his table. It means joy for my present. It means pardon for my past. It means purpose for my life, but it also means a place at his table. You know that Jesus offers you a seat, a place at his very own table. He actually invites you to be his VIP guest. You know, this time of year, it's filled with family and friends, and we're all, you know, trying to get together, right? You know, this past week, my wife and I spent some time with our family. We went to Disneyland. We went everywhere. We went to the Wild Animal Park, man. I'm just trying to stay awake right now. It was an amazing time. Spent time with my parents yesterday. That's like this time of year. It's like what we do. We're all trying to get together, like hang around tables with food. We play games. We connect. We laugh. I want you to picture something right now. Look at this picture on the screens here. Picture a crowded, just like laugh out loud, vivacious, just Christmas table with the closest friends. And they're all having like the greatest time together. One where you would kill to have a seat at the table, just to be invited. Like, man, they're having a great time. They're taking selfies, you know, like they're posting on social media. Like, man, they're just like a great like bunch of people. Like they're having a great time. Like cheers and all this stuff. And you think, man, I wish I could be part of that. Then all of a sudden, a chair is pulled out for you. And now you're invited to sit at the table. Now you have a place at the table. How good would that feel? Pretty amazing, huh? You know, my wife and I, we celebrated Friendsgiving with some of our close friends, our people, right? And we sat around a huge table. Here's a picture for you. We had great food. Look at that. Even kids are there too, man. We had a great time. Great conversations. We shared laughs, played games. These are special friends to us. These are friends with refrigerator rights. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't got to ask. They just go straight into the fridge. Yeah, you can take my Spam and rice, whatever. You go ahead. You can take it all. You don't have to ask to come to the refrigerator. You go ahead. You are refrigerator friends. You need friends like that in your life. And you know what? There's something special about sitting down at a table with real friends, right? Something special about that. You just know you have a place that feels like home. Real friends. I love what Colossians says. It says this, but now by means of the physical death of his son, talking about Jesus, that's the gift, right? God has made you his friends. Woo! God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure and faultless into his presence. You know what's cool about this whole Christmas thing? You know what's cool about this? It's that God loves you and me so much. He so desires to give us a place, a seat at the table for you and me. He knew that we could never afford the entrance fee to get into the celebration. But he loved us so much that he paid for that. And he made a way for you and I to have a seat at his table. He did that when he died for us. See, the wonderful gift of Jesus begins as he's born in a manger one day. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there.
That was simply the beginning. That baby would one day grow up to be the savior of the world. And his purpose on earth was to die a cruel death, to die for you and me. You know what? He came willingly. He came humbly. He did that to make you his friend, to make me his friend. And he's today offering you an amazing gift if you'll accept it. The offer of his grace and power changes absolutely everything. Remember this from weeks 1 and 2? The Christmas story changes everything for everyone. It changed everything for me. I remember that time when I was just, I was a teen, and I went to youth camp, and some preacher, he was talking about heaven, hell, and Jesus. And I remember afterwards, it was like space, like very similar to this. I was like, man, I don't know what he's talking about, but I need whatever he's talking about. And one of my leaders pulled me aside. He said, hey, Josh, this is how you can know who God is. I remember that as a teenager. I remember when it changed everything for me. Let me share with you how the Jesus story changed everything for my friend, Dylan. Take a look at this.
Life before Center Church, I wasn't actually attending church very often. I wasn't, reading the Bible, listening to worship music. I had a relationship with God, but it wasn't, consistent. I would pray, but it would just be kind of random. I'd forget about it for a while, come back to it. And a lot of times when I would pray, it would be surface level. It would be very, just not full of content, just kind of going through the motions, checking that box off, So it just didn't get, I didn't get very deep into prayer before Center Church, and I just wasn't very invested in my faith at all, to be honest. I think I was 18 years old. I noticed a growth that began to, I noticed a mass had began to grow. So I, went to the doctor's office to see what was going on. The doctor was finally able to tell me that, I actually had testicular cancer. So I'm 18-year-old, sitting in front of a doctor, probably like one of the first times my mom's not right next to me in the doctor's office. It was a lot, it was just like the weight of the world was just on my shoulders at that time. Just a kid still, and being told, you have cancer. And you hear all the stories, you hear, other people's testimonies of, just dealing with, sickness and everything, and it never really hits you like it does when you're being told, you have cancer. So as an 18-year-old kid, that was a lot for me to deal with, and truly like struck me mentally. It really, kind of put a damper in my mind, and was just very hard to deal with. I want to pause. My bad. They were able to tell me that, the cancer was benign. And if you don't know what that means, that's, the type of cancer that doesn't actually spread, or, doesn't normally spread. But at the same time, even though I was all in the clear, no longer have cancer, I still had to deal with that mental baggage. The weight of, just like, this can happen to me. In the back of my mind, it's just like, what if this happens again? What if, this is just the beginning of something? After overcoming cancer, I was actually told that my biological father had died in a car crash. Now, he wasn't really a big part of my life. He actually, him and my mom, they split up when I was still a toddler, like still very young and everything. So I didn't have a ton of interaction with my father, and only a few memories, but I still had that hope, I still had that hope that, we could one day build a relationship as an adult, you know, just get down and have, you know, get to sit down with him and have those, you know, important conversations that, you know, every kid wants to have. It was just full of depression for me. And the way that I escaped that depression and all that mental baggage and everything was, you know, a bottle of liquor. And, you know, that in itself just brought, you know, a ton of other issues that were basically self-inflicted. So we were actually invited to Center Church originally by a, you know, coworker of my sister-in-law. We went out to Balboa Park at the time where we did service, and, you know, almost immediately we could tell that, you know, something was different. You know, something different was happening here. We had a few conversations with, you know, some of the elders, some of the leaders around the church, and we just really got great vibes, and it really pulled us in to return the following weeks. At that time, when we first started, we were actually in the midst of planning our wedding. And it was also like in the midst of COVID. You know, a lot of pieces for our wedding that were falling through the cracks. So our wedding was actually a destination wedding for a lot of our family. So, you know, if things weren't all in line, it would have been a disaster. The community here at Center Church, they stepped up in a very big way. Without them, I truly don't think we would have been able to have the wedding of our dream. Since coming to Center Church, you know, I've become more involved in the community. I started helping with the worship team, Bible basketball ministry. That led me to a coaching opportunity at Ocean View Christian Academy. And, you know, just having the opportunity to pour into children that, you know, may need it, you know, may need that influence from someone like me. You know, another thing that Center Church has done is, you know, and I know you hear it a lot from Pastor Josh, but joining a small group was a huge role in you know, what God is doing in my life. We joined a couple small group for young couples. You know, we got connected with what now are great friends. And that small group really played a huge part in just how we follow God, how we, you know, connect with friends and, you know, just try to be there for each other and build a community around us.
Your story might be like Dylan's. You might be like just walking through life, doing the best that you can. Might be walking in some darkness today. Can I let you in on something? God loves you. You don't have to get stuck there. He loves you so much that he makes you his friend and he invites you to the table. I seen God change Dylan's life. I seen him change his life. We needed the gift of who he is, and Jesus wonderfully delivered. He delivered joy from my present. He delivers pardon and forgiveness from my past. He gives me purpose for my life, but also he gives me a seat at his table. Can we pray today? Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray if there's anybody here this morning who just is walking through a hard time. Maybe they've fallen away from you. Maybe someone who doesn't know who you are, but they heard something this morning that caught their attention. They're like, you know, man, I need that. I need that. When nobody looking around, I'm not gonna embarrass you, I'm not gonna call you up, but I would love to pray for you. If that's you, you're like, you know, Josh, I need to say yes to Jesus. I need that wonderful gift. I'm willing to accept him today. If that's you, can I ask you to raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Anybody like that? Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. Father, I pray for my friends who've risen their hands today. If that was you, I want you to pray with me. Pray this. Dear God, I know that you're the Savior. I know that you love me. Father, forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come into my life today. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a place at your table. In your name, I ask these things. Amen. 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 Awesome, 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 guys.